The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's way more intense than anybody can speak on it. Like, it's really, like, I don't even eat in Cleveland. I never eat in Cincinnati, and I never eat in Baltimore. Like, they can just forget about it. They talk about the good crab in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I ain't never had it.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by Southfields Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. We are at Porky's in Etna. I am facing wings. T-Bird and Malzi crushed burnt end sandwiches. They have amazing barbecue. Come down and have it and donate to our great event, which is our For the Win charity drive. Gift cards and monetary donations help the women who are at the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter, and we're trying to help them out and give them a brighter Christmas holiday. Here until 6, that was Joey Porter, Malzi's favorite ex-Steeler, on Hard Knocks last night. That was the human interest piece of Hard Knocks. The Porter family, get to know
all in the family.
Joey Porter and Joey Porter Jr. They did show some clips of Porter working with a Steelers assistant coach on making sure he didn't get flagged. That actually helped. That was an issue.
He didn't have
the game against the Browns.
Nice clean game for him by and large.
And Joey Porter saying he hated teams like the Browns, Ravens, and Bengals so much, he wouldn't eat in those cities. I don't even know how that works. These teams fly in, because remember, he coached too, so this is like a recent thing.
Sure.
You fly into these places on a Saturday, and then you don't leave until after the game.
So he would not even get room service? Yeah, right. He wouldn't get room service? He wouldn't do anything like that?
He would pack it like a bagged lunch.
Can you imagine him just having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and like pretzels and an apple from home?
I know a sportscaster in Pittsburgh who was so thrifty that when he would go on the road, he would pocket his per diem and he would bring a loaf of bread and peanut butter, and that's what he would eat.
Did you work with this sportscaster in Pittsburgh for several years?
No. I did not.
Did you? Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. I'm giving it away. It's not Cook. I know what you were going for there, and I'll admit that it wasn't Ron.
That is shocking to me. I would think that that would be a Ron move.
No, Ron would go to the hotel bars and things of that nature.
The hotel, yes, the hotel bars. I guess you really aren't using your per diem on that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Who would? Can I? Like, do you want me to try to name this person, or will it be embarrassing if we?
No, you can. I'll give you one more crack at it, and I will swear myself to transparency that if you get it right, I will say who it is.
Okay. Who would pocket his per diem?
Mm-hmm.
And this is somebody we've worked with.
Kind of.
Our generation, generally.
Sure. Yeah. It's not someone from, like, the 1970s.
See, anybody I pick here just flippantly, it's going to be funny, because if it gets back to them, it'll offend them.
Okay.
That I would have said their name. I'm going to go with one off the board.
Go ahead.
Albie Oxenreiter.
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Can't wait. Do you actually? I just don't like. So Joey Porter wasn't eating pit beef in Baltimore. I mean, Cleveland's just really
pit beef. The thing there is the crabs that he brought.
Well, no, they got that open pit beef or whatever. They have some like very specific beef sandwich.
T-Bird,
type
did
of
you
thing.
Know that Baltimore's known for pit beef sandwiches?
No, and my grandma lives in Baltimore. Never
there you
heard
go.
Of it.
Pit beef, Baltimore. Chaps, pit beef. The pit beef
I don't
sandwich
know. That's
is
such
a big
hipster
deal.
Thing. Like, oh, the you know, tired are crabs in Baltimore. Wired are pit beef sandwiches. But that is, they do.
It's
look
known
good,
for two things. It's known for crab, and it's known for pit beef. Like I've watched a
no,
Diners,
I'm pretty
Drivers.
Sure it's just known for crab.
I've watched a Triple D. If Guy Fieri says it is so, it is so. That would be logistically very difficult for Porter, unless he's felt like hotel food in those cities was like neutral food, you know what I mean?
So he's not technically going out to eat, like he's just taking like the team's catered spread, I
right.
guess?
Right, okay. Yeah, I think he's got to look at that as neutral food. He's got to mean that, like, I'm not going to a nice Baltimore restaurant.
I think Hard Knocks has already lost its luster.
Jumped the shark?
I think already it's...
Didn't they recycle footage of Pickett?
They did?
It looked like they were using, like, recycled Pickett footage somebody was accusing them of.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and analyze it like it's the Zapruder film to figure that out.
Well, you used to do that with every Kenny passing attempt. So.
Fair. I watched it with Amanda last night. The thing about a show like that is that it holds her attention. She actually can sit down and watch that and be entertained by it.
What appeals to her about it?
The behind the scenes, the getting to know the players. Something that, for example, appeals to her and probably not most football. People like you and I are watching for the football part of it.
Yep.
She sees the kid who's battling cancer who meets Jamar Chase and
does the whole gritty. He's like, if I score him doing the gritty,
yes,
then he did the gritty.
Exactly.
Widely reported on
so
TV.
She gets emotional and choked up watching that happen. And
I do like that
she
stuff,
gets invested in Jamar Chase, and now she starts to read more about Chase. And
she becomes a Jamar Chase fan.
Yeah. So that part of Hard Knocks
I'm
is
not watching
more geared
for that
towards her than it is like the hardcore
sure.
X's and O's loving football fan.
I'm not watching it for that, but I do appreciate those stories.
I do too. They just missed out on so many raw meat topics last night. For example, the Deontay Johnson thing
that's
in
what
Baltimore.
Got me. That's what got me. I was able to like catch up and speed watch it. I didn't catch it live last night. I had to catch up today before the show. How you don't have anything on that entire like mushrooming problem there, the suspension. That was what we talked about going in was going to be our big concern. Are they going to go away from the real, like, juicy, potentially negative stories because teams have final edit? And that is probably the biggest bit of turmoil or dark cloud floating around the Ravens right
it's
now.
It's sold as a documentary series. It's not. They're not
It's PR.
They're not documenting what's actually happening there. They're trying to put their own spin and tell their own story with the cooperation of the teams. So
it's but have you ever read the old saying about journalism? Journalism is printing what somebody else doesn't want printed. It's the same thing for this. Like a real documentary film with no creative cut or editorial cut on the subject's part might put something on film that the subject would rather not be out there. This is PR if it's not that.
I look back on the first episode and at least there was that Tomlin trying to get Pickens refocused after the controversial interception at the beginning of the Bengals game.
Mm-hmm.
There was really nothing in this game, man. I mean, in this episode. It's entertaining. You get to turn your brain off and kind of poke in and see a little bit. It's like a hole in the fence where you can peer in and get a decent idea of what's happening. You see Tomlin at the beginning of the episode. He's doing his offensive leaders meeting where he's saying, these are the things I want you to really key in on and make sure the younger guys on the offense, these are the points of emphasis this week.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a little bit behind the curtain, but nothing there is super illuminating or
it's all
groundbreaking.
It's all dog bites man stuff.
Yeah, and so
Myles Garrett had a cough, though, Pony.
Yes, he did.
He was hacking up a lung.
Which I thought the whole point of that was to just try to give him a pass or give them a reason for why they didn't play as well in the game as they hoped. Like, well, he had to gut it out. He played at less than 100%. Give him credit for even the sack and the recovered fumble late in the game because he probably shouldn't have been out there with bronchitis or whatever the hell he had.
It's not exactly Jordan's flu game. No. He also likes iMessage during team meetings. He just had the old iPad out. Just texting
there
his buddies.
There were no even, like, real, like, funny. They tried to take the assistant Browns offensive line coach in the first episode, and he probably used the F word 30 times in
a minute long
2 minutes.
Clip, yeah.
They didn't even really have anything like that stood out in this episode.
I just think it's a diminishing returns kind of series and has been since the minute they just told the teams, like, no, you can kind of have an aggressive editorial say in what actually makes it over the air. It then really, you know who the target market is for this? It's your wife or people like her that maybe aren't into the hardcore stuff, or it is for the so ultra hardcore Steelers fan that just wants like Steelers or like any other team in the division's fan base that just wants the look behind the scenes, whether it's like sanitized or not. they just can't get enough. And how broad of a base of people is that, man? Like, at the end of the day, like, are the people who get in our mentions when we're mean to the Steelers and tell us we suck, are they so hardcore that they are watching that going, this is phenomenal television? No.
McAfee did that again today. Said it just keeps getting better and
better. Okay, but what did I tell
you? Another great episode.
I hope Phil Maines is not listening, but I think I am just being very fair and above board here. The whole point of Pat's show is they lean into the positive side of things. Like, you're not going to have Pat going on there after a game.
So a crappy-ass episode, he would not even...
He's going to accentuate the positives. That's the whole point of that show is good vibes about sports.
We're going to have Aditi Kinkabwala join us in 10 minutes. She's been in what am I looking for? The word I'm looking for. Meetings with Belichick.
Production
meetings. I knew it was a P. Production meetings with Bill Belichick last year when she was working for CBS. We'll ask her if she ever thought in her wildest dreams that Belichick would be working on finalizing a deal to become North Carolina's next head coach. Chris, how different is this than Wani going to Pitt?
Level of accomplishment for as the main
thing. I mean, Wani was at Miami with Jimmy Johnson, so he had more exposure to the college game than Bill obviously has, but it was a long time. He was with Jim in the mid-80s.
It was, but Dave had his shot in the pros and hadn't won a title or anything like that. Bill has won six of them.
No, but what I mean is, it was a Dave Wannstedt was an NFL coach
going to
yes,
college.
He was in college, but he was a guy that was going from having been a head coach with the Dolphins and
defensive
a head coach with the Bears
yeah.
and a defensive coordinator in the NFL to becoming the head coach of a college program, and he had not coached in college since the 80s with Jimmy Johnson at the University of Miami. Right, so they were not getting a guy that was all that familiar with the current college game. In fact, wasn't there a whole thing about how Kavanaugh's plays and his offensive playbook originally were for like the hash marks being closer together, like the pro
yes.
game than the college game?
Yeah.
Right. So, and tell me how you feel about this. I would say overall at Pitt, Dave Wannstedt's tenure there was somewhat of a success. Failure. I'm going to put Wani in the successful bucket.
He brought them, other than the one Kenny Pickett year where, you know, they were playing in the Peach Bowl and they were a big deal for a while. I mean, Wani is the closest that they got to, like, actually playing in a BCS game. So, yeah, I would have to put it as a success. It ended in very inauspicious terms or on very inauspicious terms. But, yeah, I would say
it took a while to get it started.
But he got the kind of players. He put NFL players on that roster, and then he developed them, and they became NFL stars in some
cases.
You
obviously agree that Bill Belichick is a much better coach than
yes.
Wani. No disrespect
we love, to him. We love Wani, but Belichick's won six Super Bowls.
So if I think Dave Wannstedt could be – somewhat successful at Pitt,
mm-hmm.
then why should I believe that Bill Belichick couldn't do something similar or better at North Carolina?
If he hires the right people, he can. I do think he can.
When you say the right people, what do you mean?
Like, I think he needs to hire. So this is what I think he needs to do. Hire a good offensive mind. And, like, if you're going to run a pro-style program, understand that that doesn't mean lining up in the I formation anymore like Alabama used to do under early Saban. Like, if you want to have it be a pipeline to the pros, then run everything like that, which includes like a pro-style offensive coordinator, I would say.
Well,
problem with the pipeline...
The pros don't even do I... The fullbacks
no,
are
No,
out
that's of- what I'm saying. It means don't line up like that anymore. It means spread it out. You've got to get pro concepts. Here's the problem I find with him trying to say, like, this is a pipeline to the pros. That all is well and good, and it sounds really nice when you say it or it gets written down. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter how good your football team is. Best case scenario, how many of your guys on any given year in college are going to make from one team are making it to a pro roster the next year? Like 10, maybe 11 from one of those Alabama teams or Ohio State teams?
Yeah, right? I'm okay with that number.
Okay, but at North Carolina, is it really going to get to that number? Probably not. So I think like what he wants to do and what he's materially going to be able to do are two different things. And how successful or not successful he is relies on how much of a matter of degree that is.
5 years ago, the only way to really build a great program was to recruit out of high school the best players. Go talk to mom and dad about
kids
that
were
16, 17 years old and convince them to come play for your football team. Now, with the transfer portal, you just have to look around and find guys who fit what you do and pay them enough or convince them that your program is going to get them to the next level. That evolution of college football, I do think, works in Belichick's favor big time. I mean, if he really wanted to, he could build a program that was almost entirely built off of players that came from other teams. You can do that now.
He's got to have the financial backing, though, of the school. And, like, the one thing I keep reading is that there are people skeptical that the pockets will be that deep at North Carolina. But I guess I also heard last night, I don't know if you saw this report, that a trustee tried to offer him the job, not the AD. Like, I'm sorry, it sounds like some of these stories where it's near the goal line, I'm not doing that to troll you, I swear, but, like, it's getting closer and closer and closer.
But hold on,
it does
though.
Sound like there's some chaos behind the scenes.
Sure, but I don't think it's bad that the people with the money
are just trying
are the
to
ones
jump
that are
the,
pushing for
the gun.
It. Yeah. I mean, if the AD was really the one that was gung-ho on Belichick and was trying to, like, force his
agenda.
Sure,
I see that, but then it's one thing to try to get the guy hired, then pony up to play the players year after year. Do you have a deep enough pool of people? They ain't SMU.